Hey, we're really glad you're joining us today. We think God has something great to say to your life, and we think that maybe he's doing some things in this moment that it'd be easy to miss. In fact, for a few weeks, we've been talking about don't miss the moment. Like, there are moments that God's doing right now, and it'd be easy to get really distracted. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a few moments. But before I go too far, I just want to say it's really awesome to have Tori back with me today sharing the word. So say hello to everybody, Tori.
Yeah, good morning to you and good morning to everybody else in your homes, in your living rooms, wherever you are. It's so good to be with you, and we're going to have a good time this morning.
We are. We are doing this social distancing. And we're about 6 feet apart, and one of the reasons why when he preaches, he spits, and so we're trying to get farther enough away so that we're both safe, but no, good.
Get him out of the splash zone.
There we go. So, but we're going to talk for a few moments. If you want to go ahead and get your Bible, we're going to talk out of Luke, the 24th chapter, or you can look in the bottom right-hand corner of the website on the page where we're live broadcasting, or on the app. You can look down there. There's a place for you to open up a Bible. It's actually connected to YouVersion. If you don't have a YouVersion account, you might want to get one. You could also take some notes. But this story really talks about something that God is doing. And it seems to me like it's easy to get lost in these moments.
Right.
It's easy to get lost even in the calendar. Somebody actually said the other day, they said that since Monday, it's been the longest 30 years of their life. And it seems like, is it Monday? Is it Friday?
Right.
Like, the calendar seems to be almost confused with everything else. And so one of the things that we do here at Christ Church is we watch a calendar, like a church calendar, and it makes us pay attention to some stuff.
Right.
It makes us pay attention to stuff it would be easy for us to miss. And so this happens to be Holy Week, and today's Palm Sunday.
Yeah, and going off that, you know, I sent out just a reminder to our volunteers that this has been such a difficult time for so many people. We've experienced so many new challenges that we don't really know how to deal with because we've never been faced with them before.
Right.
I can't think of a better time than right now to remind us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that we're not a people without hope.
Amen.
And so what a great time in the middle of all this just to reflect on that.
Well, I think it also speaks volumes to the world that we shouldn't be like everyone else.
Right.
Like, if our faith is really about hope and that we believe, then it should even reflect in these moments. Like, it should show up in the way we conduct ourselves in kindness and gentleness, also in self-control and even in generosity, but right. In hope.
Sure.
And we have folks that they're facing some difficult circumstances. We have people that are having layoffs, and we have some folks that we know that are going to walk through some difficulty with family members. But the truth is, we never lose sight of who Jesus is. And consequently, when we don't lose sight of who he is, then it keeps us in a place of hope. And that's in the story that we're going to look at. That's exactly what happened to the disciples. What happened to them was they had been following Jesus for 3.5 years, and they had placed their trust in him, and then all of a sudden, this man who they had been following, and they believed that he was going to be the answer to all of their needs, that he was going to overthrow the Roman government, that he was going to give them a place in the kingdom of God, and they weren't really thinking heaven by and by. They were actually thinking here, now.
Sure.
Like, they would overthrow Rome, and there would be people that would be sitting on the right and the left of Jesus. In fact, there was a whole discussion about, Lord, which one, when this all happens, which one of us will be on your right and your left? And so they were not really thinking eternal kingdom.
Right.
They were thinking what is going to take place right now. And it's easy to get into that place. When you're facing difficulty, it's easy to go, like, what about me now?
Mm-hmm.
And so they were thinking about themselves now. And then this story that we're going to take a look at actually takes place after the resurrection. So what's revealed in their hearts is revealed in light of the resurrection, that the resurrection takes place, and yet there was moments in it, there was teaching in it, there was something in it that they had missed.
Right.
And so Luke, the 24th chapter, we're just going to take a little bit of time, and we're going to read pretty big portions of this. And so just take a few moments and enjoy and get your Bible again and just read along with us. And so, Tori, you want to read a couple of verses for us?
Yeah, let's start at verse 13. It says, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened." Now, this is kind of interesting right there in the very beginning. Take note that they're actually walking away from Jerusalem, the epicenter mm-hmm. where everything had just taken place. Yeah. You know, they had followed this man for 3.5 years, and then everything gets flipped upside down.
Absolutely. In fact, he told them in advance. The awesome thing about him was he told them, okay, this is going to happen. We're going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be like... On the third day, I'm going to rise again. And he said, go ahead of me into Galilee, and I'm going to meet you in Galilee. In fact, in Mark, the 14th chapter, in the 18th verse, he says, after I've risen, I'll meet you in Galilee. So they had heard this. This is the same Jesus that he wrote, caused people to rise from the dead, broke bread and fed 5,000, caused storms to stop, and he instructs them to go ahead. And so even though they had heard all of his teaching throughout all the years, they still missed what he was actually saying.
Right. And I think this just kind of goes, like, plays into the fact of how disappointed they really were. It's because everything they believed about Jesus, yes. everything they believed that would come because of Jesus, was all wrapped up in Jesus doing something that he didn't do.
Right.
And so it left him in this place of disappointment where everything that he had taught was forgotten.
Yeah. And many of us, honestly, like, we end up in that very same place. And there are people today that are struggling with hope and struggling with disappointment. Maybe something that you thought your career would produce for you, or honestly, the government would produce for you, or even a church or a friend or a family member. And you've had a disappointment, and now you're walking in disappointment. Sometimes, though, it almost ends up that we walk in disappointment when it comes to Jesus.
Yeah.
Like somehow there's something that we wanted out of him. There was something that we were hoping for out of him. And then it doesn't play out quite the way we thought it would. And that's what starts to take place. And Jesus is instructing them in advance that there's going to be some stuff that's going to take place. And I believe if you've been listening, he's been instructing us in advance. There's some stuff that's going to happen. Get ready for it. Get your heart ready for it. Get your faith in a firm foundation. Let me speak to you. And sometimes when he speaks, we still don't hear it.
Right. I know there's been so many points in my life where I just haven't heard it. And so I've been in the same place as the disciples where it seems like I'm walking in the complete opposite direction of where he told me to go.
Yeah.
But what I love about this story is look who shows up.
Yeah.
And so let's take it on from verse 15. It says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast.
Yeah.
And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? In other words, where have you been?
Exactly. It'd be like somebody missing the coronavirus right now.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Seriously, you would just have to be completely unplugged for that to take place. But here, this is a big event.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, it was a citywide thing. Everybody was in Jerusalem for the Passover. And so everybody witnessed, and it was talked about everywhere. And again, you know, the thought about their wishes and their hopes for Jesus, we're gonna see that in just a few moments. In the middle of all that, they still had an intention or an expectation of what they thought Jesus was going to do. Go on and read on if you don't mind.
Yeah, I love this. I love how Jesus kind of plays dumb in verse 19. He says, what things, he asked. And about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priest and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But I love this. There's a semicolon there. It's almost like a pause and a change of thought. You can almost feel the thought, you know, in what they're saying. And it says, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel.
Wow.
And what is more, it has been 3 days since all of this took place.
We had hoped. That is, to me, that is it's the corner in this thing. Mm. It's where, like, it reveals who they are.
Right.
It reveals where they were. We had hoped, we had trusted. We had trusted he was going to overtake Rome. We had trusted he was going to cause us to prosper. We trusted that he was going to heal our families. We trusted he was going to put us in a good position.
Right.
We trusted that it was going to work out good. There was going to be no bad.
Yeah.
And even though they'd been listening to Jesus, we were talking earlier, there's a thing out now called confirmation bias, and that is that you only look for the things that you already agree with. Like, they confirm your bias.
Right.
And it's in the media. Our news feed shows up because we've gone to the same websites over and over again. That's the only news that we hear. And so there's a thing called confirmation bias that causes us to just reaffirm what we already think, or we think we know. It's one of the struggles that I have with counseling, honestly, not with people going, but the truth is there have been some times when people have come to counseling with me, and they don't really want me to speak truth to them. They want me to just confirm what the plan they've already devised.
Right.
And many times to have a direct conversation with somebody and go, you're moving in the wrong direction with that, sometimes they can't even hear it.
Right.
They can't even, like, listen to what they just shut it off because it wasn't what they expected to hear.
It's always a challenge when you're dealing with someone who doesn't want help, they want validation. And that's kind of where they're at. They had already had an idea of who the Messiah was.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they were disappointed when Jesus didn't fit the mold.
Man, that's really cool.
And that's after 3.5 years of following this guy.
But we had hoped.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, what are the things that I've placed on Jesus, the things that I've hoped for him to do for me? Sometimes where my disappointment comes is not in what he's promised. It's what I've asked him to promise. It's what I've put on him that he hasn't promised for my life. And so I think we have to let him be God.
Sure.
There's no doubt about that. Like, we just have to let him be God. Will you read that verse one more time, and then let's go on from there.
Yeah, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, is it's the third day since all of this had taken place.
Yeah.
I just think it's so interesting that it took them 3 days. For 3 days, their entire faith shattered, what had been built up in 3.5 years. Hmm. You know what I mean? It's just in that moment, that one change of anticipation, prediction, you know, it just collapses.
Yeah, and sometimes in our lives, like, we live a life of faith or we live a religious life, and then with one doctor's phone call, for us, it crashes. Or with one look at a bank record or a retirement account or a divorce paper, like, our faith just crashes in the middle of that. And he's placing down inside of us a promise. He's placing down inside of us something to hold on to that's bigger than immediate moments, that's bigger than where we are right now. And so I love that. It's been 3 days and nothing's taken place. And so 3.5 years of teaching crashes in a moment. Go ahead and let's read on.
Verse 22. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found that it was just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus.
Yes, I love that. And there's a whole preaching that we could preach on that, like the first women really that carried the good news of the resurrection. The first people were women.
Right.
And so here they are, they're carrying good news, and yet somehow it was just hard for them to wrap their brain around what God was going to do. And so
I think that just goes to say, I mean, when you've got something in your head, it's so hard to see anything other than that.
Yeah.
And, you know, even you can miss all the signs. And this whole story is full of signs.
Right.
I mean, all the way through it.
And the thing about this is they say angel and then they say a man. And most scholars believe that really one of those angels or one of those men was Jesus himself speaking to them, and they didn't recognize him. And here in the same thing, these men are on the road to Emmaus, and they're having a conversation with Jesus, and they do not even recognize that he's in their midst. And the miracle has already happened, but they can't even recognize that Jesus is with them. Hmm. And so how about if we just read on, because there's some other great stuff in this.
Yeah, verse 25. This is Jesus responding back to them, and he says, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." I hope Jesus never has to say that to me. I know he has, but I hope he doesn't have to often. Verse 26, "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself."
Oh, that's really good. You said something earlier when we were studying this, and you said something that I just loved it so much. You know, that they had been with him for 3.5 years. And just go ahead and pick it. I'll let you take it, because it was awesome.
Yeah, you know, the thing about this that's so awesome to me, as someone who is the type of person who's got to be taught things multiple times, is this is the culmination of everything that Jesus told him. He was not shy. He was not hiding anything about what was to come. He made it as clear as possible. And they still didn't get it. And here he is with his disciples who he knew, who he trusted, who he had poured out his life and ministry into. And they're disappointed in what they've seen. But Jesus still takes the time to teach them again.
I love that.
You know, and I think that's a message to us right now. If we're walking through this confused and maybe concerned, maybe God called you to start that business and now that business is struggling, right? And now Jesus is coming to you, and maybe there's something in this that he wants to take the time to teach us again, because maybe we didn't get it completely right the first time, you know?
And it's possible that even in this moment, we're not getting it right so far, but he's not going to stop. Listen, if you think that just, if you missed something, God's going to kick you to the curb, then you really don't understand who Jesus is and his grace. Like, he always comes back. In fact, that's the point of redemption. The point of redemption is come back and redeem back to himself the people. Redeem back to himself the moments that seem to be failures, the places, and like he'll take the pause and he'll take the time and go, okay, now I'm just going to nurture you to where I want you to be. And that's what he's doing here. I love that. And goes back and teaches them again. And I'm thankful for every time he's retaught me a lesson I should have learned by now. And rather than just hurting or scolding, instead, he loved me to where I was supposed to be and helped my eyes to be opened.
And to do it from the beginning.
Yes.
He didn't skip anything. And I take a look at this next verse, and I just noticed this. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. Now, here's the significance there. This means that in the time that they've been walking with Jesus, they've been walking 7 miles.
Wow.
This is right after the man went to a cross.
Wow.
And Jesus takes a 7-mile walk with these people. I've done a lot of walking since I've been quarantined at home, but I haven't walked 7 miles.
Yeah.
And so to think, though, that Jesus would walk 7 miles with me to teach me the things that I should have already learned.
Yeah, and here's the interesting thing about it. I love this, is that they see him as a stranger. And yet, the conversations he's having with them are so familiar, and yet they still don't fully grasp what's taking place. And so, go on, if you don't mind, just reading on a little bit further.
Yeah, but they urged him strongly. That's the disciples urging Jesus. He says, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, and this is interesting, he took the bread, he gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. And it was then that their eyes were open, and they recognized him.
That's really good. One of the things that I've observed over and over again is that God has always met with people at a table. He's always met with us around food. Food has been such a part of our culture with God. In fact, if you look back all the way to the garden, the break between us and God was over food.
Yeah.
And so all along, then he discoursed with Israel how their history would be told through food. And then we come to this moment, and Jesus, again and again, he talks to them. Before he was betrayed, he has a dinner with his disciples. And he talks to them, says, "Remember me."
Right.
In the days ahead, take bread and take a cup and remember me. And in fact, we're going to ask you, if you would, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. We want to have communion together with you. And even though we won't be in the same room, we want to share communion with you. So here's what we're going to ask you to do. Gather around a table with us. You're going to be at your house. We'll be at our house. But we want you to take and find bread, get a cup, and put juice in it. Honestly, what's in the cup isn't relevant. It doesn't have to be grape juice or Welch's or wine. If you have Coke, put Coke in it. If you have milk or juice, apple juice, put that in it. But the whole idea, Jesus took bread and he broke the bread and he gave them a cup and said, this is my body which is broken for you, and this is the cup that represents my blood.
Right.
And so next Sunday, which is Resurrection Sunday, we're going to ask you to get a cup and get some bread, and we're going to celebrate this. But that's what happens here. Yeah. He gathers with them at a table. And when he gathers with them at a table, there's an exchange that happens. Mm. There's something that happens. And we want you to know, wherever you are right now, like, God's at your table.
Yeah.
Like, he wants your eyes to be opened. He wants you to see. And he wants you to see who he is and what he's doing in these moments. And so we know that we're having church and it's just us here, but we do have Sean. And so I'm going to make it feel like church. Sean, if you'll come back. And we're going to talk just for a few moments about what takes place with them.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I love about this table encounter is the simplicity of it. And you know, if there's anything that this virus has caused us to do, it's to simplify.
That's really good.
For the first time in my life, I'm taking naps. You know, they're not long naps, but I'm taking naps.
Well, that's you're getting older, yeah. Too, so, you know.
But I have so much more time with Kaylin at home, being able to talk about anything and everything.
Yes.
I've talked to a lot of parents who are spending, you know, hours with their kids, and they're used to seeing them maybe when they get home from school, feeding them and getting them to where they need to go, getting them home, and then trying to get them bathed and to bed, and it's just a rush. But something about this is making us slow down and stop at the table.
The whole world is slowing down.
Yeah.
There are actually scientists this week that are saying that significant amounts of pollution have stopped.
Wow.
And while we know the economy is being damaged, we understand all of that, but there's a flip side, that there's some things like, it's almost like God's cleansing the earth.
Yeah.
It's almost, yeah, I know there's a virus, but that virus is making us slow down. It's making us have conversations. It's making us think about what's really important. It's maybe making our eyes to be opened to see who Jesus really is.
And I think it's safe to say that in a metaphorical way, Jesus is sitting us down at the table to teach us who he is, to show himself in a new light, to make sure that we understand that we don't just have a Savior, but we have a God who wants to walk with us, a God who wants to meet with us, have a relationship with us.
Amen. He wants to be with us.
Yeah.
A song we sing here at our church is God with us.
Yeah.
That in every circumstance, he's a friend. In every circumstance, he's a provider. In every circumstance, he's our hope and our help. And when there's no other hope or help that's sufficient, it's him. And I'm praying that wherever you are today and while you're watching this, that somehow you sense that he's there in the room with you, that you sense that he's in at the table with you. And this passage says, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. I'm praying that your eyes will be opened in your circumstance, that you'll see God working. And even if it looks negative, that your eyes will be opened, that God is doing something that's way beyond what you're thinking. These gentlemen, see, they believed. They believed in Jesus. In fact, Cleopas' study tells us that he was actually Jesus's uncle. And so he should have recognized Jesus because of familiarity, and yet, even though he believed in Jesus, he didn't really see who Jesus was. Even though he had hope, his hope fell short of who Jesus was. It reminds me of when Jesus shows up at the tomb after Lazarus has died, and he's having a conversation with Lazarus's sister, and she said, if you would have been here, he would have been fine. This would have been a very different thing. And Jesus is saying, Like, yeah, it looks really bad to you, but what you don't understand is you just wanted me to relieve you of discomfort. You just wanted me to relieve you of a little bit of pain. You wanted me to relieve you of disease, but what you've missed is I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than just that. I'm the resurrection and life. I have power over everything. And Jesus says, I'm the resurrection. I'm here. And today I want you to know that the resurrection is with you. Like the resurrection of Jesus, he's there with you in his power. Wherever you are, he's fully there with you. It's God with you. It's God with us. And so I'm praying your eyes will be opened and that you'll see that he's with you. I'm praying that your eyes will be opened, that you'll know what he wants, that you'll get tuned. Take the time to sit at a table with him. Take the time to sit down with him and then allow him to speak to you. I think there's things he's trying to speak to us. I think he's trying to speak to us about as his people, who we are. And that maybe our belief is just too small. We believe that he's a good God as long as things are good. We believe that he's a good God as long as things are going in our direction. As long as he's breaking bread and multiplying fish, we believe that. But then when it's disappointment to the point of death, like that's a different belief system. I'm hoping that we'll see God, that he's bigger than death, that he's bigger than dire circumstances, and that he's the God who's with us in every one of these circumstances.
Look at the hope that's found in the last two verses here. It says, and they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us?
Yes.
While he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. And I love that because in this teaching time, in this season where God's showing us things, I believe it's God's will for this church to have our heart set on fire, to fall in love with Jesus again, that he wouldn't just be a God that we serve, but he would a God that we know, that we talk to, who walks with us, who talks with us. And look at this in verse 33. It says, and they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together. And so I think this is the message. We will not be apart forever. There will be a time that we come back together. But I'm believing that when we come back, we're going to come back with our hearts set ablaze.
Our eyes open. Yeah, absolutely. This is a turnaround time for us. It's a turnaround time for you. And I believe that it's a turnaround time for your marriage and a turnaround time for your family. It's a turnaround time for your heart, that God wants to open your eyes and turn you back to the direction that he had called you to be in to begin with. And so today, I don't know where you are and what you're walking through in your life, but I do know this. God wants to be the Lord of everything in your life. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to give you the opportunity just to say yes to God. Maybe you've never said yes to him before, or maybe you've said yes to him, and then you've been on your own road to Emmaus. And now on this day, he's meeting with you. So I'm going to pray. How about if you just repeat after me and say yes to Jesus? Will you do that? Dear Heavenly Father, go ahead and just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Acknowledge Jesus is your son and that he's my savior. Today I open my heart to Jesus. And Lord, if I've been walking in the wrong direction, I acknowledge it today and I'm ready to turn around. I'm ready to walk in the direction you have for me. And so today, Lord, open my eyes. Let your spirit burn in my heart as I turn my life towards you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If you need to know more about following Jesus, if you need to know more about just living a life committed to him, we'd love for you to reach out to us. You can fill out the prayer request form or just contact us by email. But I'd like to take just a few more moments and I'd like for us to pray together. Okay? And there are some things I think that we need to pray. Maybe pray for those who have just said yes to him to follow him or said yes to him as Savior or turned their hearts back towards him. But maybe we could pray about our church, and there are a few things. So how about if we pray together?
Sure. And I know we said this last week, but wherever you are right now in your house, I know you're comfy on your couch, but get up, grab your loved ones, Amen. Pull them close, get your kids in a circle, hold their hand, and let's just pray together.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to lead out in prayer, and just join with me. Yeah, just some of you have been sending us pictures that you're on your couch and with your family. Listen, don't be bold with us for these next few moments. Just start to pray out loud. Don't let us just pray on your behalf. Pray over your own family right now. Pray that your your family, your heart, your lives will be turned in the direction of Jesus, and this will be a catalyst moment for your life also. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus because you gave us the authority and the invitation to pray in his most holy name. And there is no other name under heaven except the name of Jesus that saves us. And there is no other name under heaven that gives us authority. You are the highest authority. You're above kings and priests. You're above presidents. You're above coronavirus. You're above everything. You are God, and there is no other God above you. So we call on you. We thank you, dear Lord, that you love us and that you always pursue us. And Lord, even when we've missed the moment, you still find us and you redeem us back to yourself. Thank you for redeeming us back to yourself. And Lord, I ask you that our eyes would be opened. And Lord, I ask you that our eyes as a church would be opened, that you would do a work so powerful, even though we're separated in different homes, we're not separated in spirit. Lord, do a work. Do a shaking and a stirring in the spirit of Christ Church of Orlando. I ask you, dear Lord, that what takes place in our hearts and our homes will just be, it will be evidence when we're back together, and there will be a fire that will set Orlando aflame for you in the name of Jesus, Lord. I ask you, dear Lord, that you'll touch our church, and not just our church, but leaders around our community, the church leaders, the other churches here in Orlando. Lord, don't just do it here, but confirm it in every church that you're doing something powerful in the hearts and lives of people. We call for a great awakening in America. We pray that our president would be awakened to your spirit. And I thank you, dear Lord, that he's called us to pray. But Lord, we're asking you that you would confirm your word and make him be so connected with you, even in prayer, Lord, that he doesn't miss you in this moment. And so, Lord, use this moment in the life of our president and give him wisdom, and our vice president, and in our Congress. Lord, bring revival to Congress. Lord, bring unity to Congress. I ask you, dear Lord, that there would be just such a great stirring and shaking that they could not miss what you're doing. Lord, we pray over them today. And Tori, if you want to just go ahead and pray for a few moments.
Yes, God, I pray right now that we as a people would not be a people who walk by fear, that we would be a people who walk by faith. God, I pray right now in living rooms and cars and offices and wherever people are, I pray that they're being filled up with faith. And I pray that that faith will wear it like a banner, God, that wherever we go, people around us who are walking in uncertainty, we pray that they will see the confidence and the stability that the people of God walk with, because we know who our God is, and because we know who you are, we know that we don't have to worry. We know that every need we have will be provided for. God, I pray a hedge of protection around our congregation. I pray that you won't just provide financially, but you'll provide with health, God. I pray that just to pour out health from heaven on us, God. Let us walk, and I pray for our healthcare workers, those who are working on the front lines, those in our church, and those in our community. God, I pray that something about them will be protected from this virus, and I pray that they will just continue to carry out the mission and the heart that you've given to them. But I pray that their work would not be just work, but it would be a ministry. God, let us be ambassadors of you in our community. God, turn our eyes towards our neighbors. Let us see those who are struggling. Open our eyes to the needs that have been created because of this virus, and then put something in our heart and give us the wisdom to meet those needs, God. Let us walk in wisdom, but God, let us also not be afraid to walk in obedience. God, I pray for just this Easter season, and we give this season to you. We know that Easter will not look the same this year, but maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's because you're up to something. And so, God, we give this season back to you. We give you our show. We give you our programming, God. And we just ask that somehow you'll do something that's bigger than anything that we could do on a Sunday. And you will remind people that you are indeed alive, that death is defeated, that we walk in freedom, and that we are a people who do not have to fear because of what you've done. God, thank you for Easter. Thank you for your resurrection. In Jesus' mighty name.
Yeah, just praise him with us for a few moments. Will you just do that? Lord, we honor you and glorify you. We lift you up, that you are God with us. And dear Lord, that you're bringing a change in our hearts, our lives, our homes. You're bringing a change to our community, to our country. And Lord, Lord, we're asking you that resurrection power would flood us this week. And Lord, that there would be indeed just a show of your power on Resurrection Sunday this year that would be different and more mighty than anything we've ever seen before. We thank you in advance for it, Lord. Amen. Thank you for all your blessings. Hey, we want you to know today that God is with you. We're going to sing, but I'm going to go ahead and do our benediction now. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you, and may God keep you in his peace. God is with you. Walk in the peace of God.